You will turn to your Bibles, Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, I'll be reading starting in verse 8 and going through verse 10. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hear you not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let your eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go you after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found grace in your eyes, that you should take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? When you experience protection, you experience truly a type of love. Here in the book of Ruth, we find Boaz's protection of Ruth. He provided for her. And God does the same thing for us. We are under the wings of our great protector, God. You know, many zoos and aviaries have webcams where you can watch the animals. You probably remember the last few years, the giraffe in the Greenville Zoo, where they had a webcam set up so that you could watch as the mother giraffe was carrying the baby and the birth of the baby giraffe. And it wasn't too long there in Georgia, they had an eagle cam, if you will, in the nest of a bald eagle there in Georgia, where they were waiting and hundreds of thousands of people watching the hatching of eaglets. We watched those eggs being hatched. We watched that baby giraffe being born. And then we watch how the mother cares for them and protects them. Here last summer, Vince and I went fishing on a lake at a place called Big Canoe in Georgia. And we had rented a small pontoon boat, and we were going out on the lake, and there's an island out in the lake. And there were three bald eagle nests out there. And it was amazing. You watched one bald eagle sitting in the nest, and then a little bit later, that one would leave, and another one would come in. The male bald eagle would come in and sit on that nest and protect that nest while the mother went out and got some food. You know, protection is found in different ways. Sometimes I have seen small birds dive on birds of prey like a hawk that was trying to get to their young. These birds would be flying all around and confounding the hawk's flight to protect their young. And they would risk everything to get rid of that threat. But the illustration that we find used several times in the Bible is that of wings. Being the shelter, being under the protection of the wings of a mother bird. But I'd like us tonight to look at the book of Ruth. And I'd like us to see the phrase under protection used with her. In the very beginning of the book of Ruth in chapter 1, towards the end of the chapter, after Naomi's husband passed away and after her sons had passed away, Naomi left Moab. She left with Ruth. Now, she gave Ruth the opportunity to return home to her family. Her other sons' wives did return home. But Ruth stayed with her, and they traveled back to Bethlehem, a place that had belonged to her deceased husband. And if you read in the first part, in the first part of chapter 1, you can see in there the pain that Naomi was enduring. And if you look kind of between the lines, you can also see possibly the anger. If you look in verse 19, when they were getting close to home, Naomi was recognized. And the people said in verse 19, "Is this Naomi?" And in verses 20 and 21, Naomi responded to them. She said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then do you call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Do you feel that way sometimes? You feel sometimes that you are being punished by God because of something that may have happened to you. And maybe sometimes we feel like Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. But with all this being said, we can see that the timing in all of this is more than just a coincidence. They came back at a time of the barley harvest. In Ruth 2, in verse 2, Ruth asked Naomi to let her go to the fields to gather the leftovers of the harvest. Now, this gives us some insight as to the plight that these two women were in. There was no husband to take care of them. There was no one to bring food into the house, no one to make a living. The idea of gathering leftovers or the gatherings or the gleaning behind the workers shows their poverty. You know, the law of Moses fortunately allowed for this in Leviticus 19 and verses 9 and 10. The Bible reads, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyards, neither shall you gather every grape on your vineyard. You will leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." No one would rather be poor than rich. No one that I know of likes to live off the mercy of others. You know, when you have nothing and you believe that God has dealt harshly with you, it is easy, so easy, to turn inward and be bitter. But God was not against Naomi. Neither did God leave her alone. You know, later on in the book of Ruth, Naomi is told that Ruth was more valuable than seven sons. You know, somewhere along the life and the beginnings of their relationship as mother and daughter-in-law, there must have been something within Naomi that caused Ruth to love her very, very much. Ruth wants to help her mother-in-law, and she is willing to go to work. It just so happens. And yeah, can you say God's providence that the field that Ruth went to was that of Boaz, who was not only a near relative of Naomi's deceased husband, but the Bible also tells us that he was a mighty man of wealth. Some translations say a mighty man of valor. But he comes to the field and he sees Ruth. And he asks his servants who she is. If you will, let's look in verses 6 and 7 of Ruth chapter 2. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "Is it the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab?" And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came, and she has continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. A little in the house. She'd been there all day. She was working her fingers to the bone. And she worked all day except for just a moment in time when she took a little bit of time to rest. I call them power naps. I like them. You get kind of wore down a little bit, your eyes get tired, you sit back, you close your eyes for 10, 15 minutes, and it's like you had a whole night's sleep. And all of this that she was doing impressed Boaz. And he knows that he is a close relative. And we can see in there that he has a desire to be kind to Naomi, but now also to Ruth. And this brings us to verses 8 and 10 that I read. The kindness that Boaz is showing is not what Ruth expected. She has been humbled by his generosity. But she asked the question, why? She couldn't understand why someone would be so kind to someone who was not an Israelite. Why? Verses 11 through 13. And Boaz answered, and he said to her, "It has been shown to me all that you have done to your mother-in-law since the death of her husband, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you come to a people which you did not know before. The Lord recompense your work, and a full reward be given to you, the God of Israel, under the wings you have come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for that you have comforted me, and for that you have spoken friendly to your handmaid, though I am not like one of your handmaidens." Brethren, friends, this is more than just a great love story. This is the account of God offering what mankind cannot. You know, I really like the imagery of verse 12. This is what makes Boaz a mighty man. This is what a true God-fearing Israelite is like. Boaz tells Ruth that what he is doing may be kind, but what she is gaining is God's protection. That's the prayer of Boaz. It is not Boaz that can give Ruth what she needs. It is God. You know, there are a great many servant activities that the churches participate in. People are blessed by the hands of Christians every single day. It is those actions that touch lives. But Boaz had it right. What is greater is the protection of the wings of God. Brethren, this is what I need to hear today. I've been blessed by many. Folks in this congregation have shown kindness to me and my family. And I can never repay for all the good that has been done for us over the years. Your friendship, your love, your prayers. But here's the lesson. What has been done for me by you is really nothing more than an extension of what God is offering to me always. You know, too often I think that the world is crashing down, when in truth God is keeping more from happening to us than we can bear. The truth is, it could be a whole lot worse. And we need to thank God that it is not. Think of the times in your life when you know it was totally God watching over you. As Christians, many of us have experienced this many times. You know, I don't like to say this too often, but several years ago, we were traveling through Washington, D.C. I was towing a camper. We were on vacation. We were going to go down, and we're sitting there and trucking, and I think my mother-in-law, Myrtle, was in the car with us. We were going to D.C. to go to the Smithsonian Institute. We were driving, and if you've ever drawn in Washington, D.C., just in a car, it's a nightmare. Try doing it with a trailer. And I'm driving through the city, and I'm trying to time the lights, and then all of a sudden, red light. I didn't see that one. So I got through the intersection, going this way and this way, and back again straight, towing a trailer, and missed everything. And a cabbie pulled up next to me, and we got to the next light, and I'm sitting there, and my heart's beating. Vicky's this, and... And I look over at the cabbie, hoping it wasn't a cop, and he gave me a thumbs up. I knew it was more than just driving skills that got me through that intersection. As Christians, we have experienced God's protection too many times. God wants to fight our battles. The whole point of putting on the armor of God is so that we can withstand the darts of Satan. The truth is, you can stand against Satan because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to empower us as Christians to do what the world cannot do. We have faced many temptations in our lives. And friends, a lot of times we fail. We have faced many battles in which our self-control is not in control. And yet when we turn to God in prayer, when we surrender our will to His, when we take up our cross and we follow Him, we make it through. We need and we need to desire to live under the wings of the great protector God. And He welcomes us. There is a passage in the New Testament that uses this imagery in just a little bit different way. We find the passage in Matthew 23. Now it is a harsh passage, I'm not going to deny that. In this chapter that Matthew records, Jesus chastising the scribes and the Pharisees for their lack of love to others and the way that they twist the scriptures to their own desires. In this chapter, Jesus calls them hypocrites because of their actions. But what I want us to look at and to focus on for just a moment is what he says after he rakes them over the coals in verses 37 through 39. Where Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent to you, How often have I gathered your children together, even as a hen has gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house has left you desolate. For I say to you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now here's my question tonight. Is God good enough for you? You see, Jesus wants to be for us what Boaz said God was for Ruth. But how often do we allow our own hypocrisy to keep us from God's blessing? The wings of God longs to shelter and to protect and to carry us. Question is, are we willing to come to God? Ruth did. So can we. If you're not a child of God, whose protection are you under? You know, how many times when we're raising our children, and we say something to them that we know is for their own protection, and they said, I can do it myself. Friends, you can't get into heaven by yourself. There is only one way there. But first, in order to open up that door, you must obey the gospel. There is no other way to the Father, but through the Son. God demands that in order to be in under His protection, that you obey the gospel. Because you see, when we are not in that state with Him, we have removed ourselves from His presence. Through repentance and confession and baptism for the remission of sins, you have walked through that door. You are now under His protection. Maybe you've left your first love. Maybe there is things in your life that has taken you from out from underneath those wings of protection. Through repentance and asking God's forgiveness, you can come under again the sheltering wings of God the Father. If there is anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.